set, you see, it's set into creation. It's set into the mode, the way God created creation for everything to grow. You take a seed and you put it in the earth, what will it do? It'll begin to grow. You take a sapling and you stick it in the ground. What's it going to do? Just naturally, just if you put it around the correct elements, what's it going to do? It's going to grow. Birds grow. Weeds grow. Cows grow. Worms grow. People grow. All you got to do is make sure they're around the correct environment and it will grow. It's a natural thing. It's just like breathing. Spiritual growth, if you get around the proper environment, you will grow. You can't help but grow. You get around apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, you're going to grow. And it's a natural thing. In fact, in the natural, if Lance or Bonnie or if Jack or Max did not grow anymore, we would do everything possible trying to figure out what was wrong. We would be going to specialists. We would be taking them here. Do we need to move to Arizona? What do we need to do? We want our children, our grandchildren to grow. And God wants us to grow. And if we're not growing, there is a terrible problem. Because it should be just as natural. This is why He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. So that we can grow into maturity. Coming into the measure and the stature and the fullness that belongs unto Christ. If you're not growing, something's wrong. Okay? Look at number two. Number two. The Bible says that the righteous shall flourish as what? And flourish and what? And grow. And it shall flourish and grow as a cedar. Now let me give you the typology here in this particular thought. You see, cedar, the cedar tree, is an evergreen. And the cedar tree has a wonderful aroma about it, both in its leaves and then when it's cut. The wood itself has a special aroma. And also, it's one of the most resistant trees that there are to disease and to insects. And also, the cedars of Lebanon were cut and harvested to build the temple of God. Now, all of those things are the way the righteous should grow. You and I are supposed to be evergreen. All year long, even in our winter times, we're still supposed to be lively and green. Right? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We're supposed to give forth a wonderful aroma. Our lives are supposed to smell good. We're supposed to be disease resistant, not only in the natural, but also in the spiritual. We're supposed to ward off the attacks of the devil, right? The shield of our faith to stop all those fiery darts of the wicked one. We're supposed to be like this cedar, but most of all, God wants to use us in His building of His habitation. The household of faith is built with you and me, and the righteous shall grow and they shall flourish. Do you know the only time Jesus cursed anything was when it wasn't growing fruit? Think about it. He went to the fig tree. It had a lot of leaves. Woo! But there was no fruit. See, we're not only supposed to grow, but we're supposed to flourish. And if you grow properly, you will flourish. And you'll become abundant. That's what we're supposed to be. So looking at number three. If we are not growing, what? Spiritually, then something is terrible. Terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. Think about that in the natural, and think about how God feels about that in the spiritual. We are to grow. And if you're not growing, there is a problem. We've got to figure out what it is. Because church at its best does what? It grows. It grows. So we're to grow. What does that mean? I'm supposed to become more like Jesus. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says that I'm supposed to grow in my grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm supposed to grow in grace and in knowledge. Now, that helps a lot, doesn't it? What does that mean? I'm telling you, you're supposed to grow in grace. What does that mean? One of the most misunderstood words in all of churches is the word grace. Because we're pretty much taught that it means mercy. Write this down. Grace does not mean mercy. Mercy means mercy. Grace does not. Now, that's pretty deep, right? Mercy means mercy. But grace does not mean mercy. And it is one of the most important words to understand. Why? Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that I am saved by grace through faith. But I don't know what grace is. And I talk to preachers who don't know what grace is. Grace, I want to tell you this, and then I'll fill in all the blanks. Grace is the ability that God gives to you and I, individually, to minister to people. That's what grace is. Grace determines who you are and what you do in the kingdom of God. I'm going to say both of those things again. Grace is the individual abilities that God gives you and I to minister to people, to minister and to love people. And grace determines who you are and what you do in the body of Christ. And I can't give you the entire teaching on the doctrine of grace, but I can give you one verse that I think will answer and solidify those two statements that I just made. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul here says something. And he says something that I'm so appreciative for because it really helps me understand grace. Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, whatever grace is, it made Paul what he was. So if I understand what grace is, then I'll have an understanding of how it made Paul what he was, and then how it will make me what I am, and how then I can use that to minister to people. Now, let me help us. What was Paul? Paul was what? He was an apostle. What else? Teacher and a preacher. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy say that. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a teacher and a preacher of the good news. He says that in both books. Paul was an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher of the good news. And what made him that was the grace. The grace he was given. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now look, you are what you are in the body of Christ by the grace of God. It is what God has given you. And it is extremely important that you understand it because it is what saves you. I am saved by grace through faith. Understand this, people. Understand if you don't ever hear anything else I ever say, you must understand your grace. Paul writes, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How can I work it out? I work my salvation out through doing my grace. By doing what God's gifted me to do and doing it. And Paul says, the grace... Now look at this. Can the grace of God be given in vain? And if it can, what does that mean? Paul says, and the grace that was bestowed upon me, go to the next verse, was not in vain. Can the grace of God be given us in vain? Can you take your talent and wrap it in a napkin and hide it in a ditch? Or can you take it and grow it and multiply it? It becomes extremely important to know that we need to grow in our grace. Do you know that very few weeks go by that someone doesn't come up to me and say, Delbert, you're teaching better now, you're preaching better now than you ever have. What they're saying to me is I'm communicating what God is giving me better. I'm relaying it. I'm bringing it to you better and better. What does that mean? It means I'm growing in grace. I'm growing in the ability and the talent that God gave me to be a teacher of His Word. I'm growing in it. So therefore, I must be growing in Jesus. I must be becoming more like Him. Was He a good teacher? Absolutely. And you have a grace too. You have an individual ability that God has given you. And that thing needs to grow. You need to determine what it is, and you need to amplify that thing and grow that and become mature in it. Because in your maturing, and you're becoming mature in your grace causes you to become mature in Jesus. So we grow in our grace. Now, let me say this. Grace, all gifts, coming down again, all gifts are given to minister to people. All gifts are given to minister to people. Let's do some of them. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about tongues, interpretations of tongues, and prophecies. Who are they for? People. To minister to people. To love people. It talks about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirit. Who is that? Who are they for? People. It talks about faith and miracles and healings. Who are they for? People. How about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers? Who are they for? People. How about gifts of administration or governments or leadership? Who are they for? People. How about mercy? You ought to have this by now. How about giving? All the gifts that are given to us are for people. God's given us specific abilities to love people. God's given us unique ways to minister to people. If I'm becoming like Jesus, and you can't argue with this one, I will minister to people. If I'm growing in my grace, and I have an understanding of that, then I'm going to grow in my ministry and ability to minister to people. And everybody has a grace. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, and that's what Romans chapter 12 says. The Spirit gives it as He desires, as it pleases Him. He gives it to every person. That's what it says. So am I to grow in my grace? Yeah. Let me catch you up now on your fill-ins. See where we're at. Where I go to knowledge. What number am I on? Number 5. Okay. The enemy puts... No. That's number 6. Number 5. Grace is the individual abilities we are given by God to serve and minister to people. Okay. Now, I grow in my grace, and I also am told that I need to grow in my knowledge. I grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. How does this work? What's this about? Let's go ahead and do number 6 here. The enemy puts up every obstacle to stop us from growing in the knowledge of God. How many obstacles? He'll put up everything you can imagine. Most of you raised your hand that you want to grow in this coming year in the dimension of the Spirit. You want to grow and become more like Jesus. If you really mean it, if you absolutely mean that, if this is a real desire of your heart and you are serious, you will be in warfare like you've never been before. You will. Everything that that you can imagine, the enemy is going to put up against you. He's going to raise up everything to stop you from growing in your knowledge of God. The night that we determine that we're going to have a study teaching and you need to come will be the night that you have a flat tire. Or the night the boss tells you need to work late. Or it will be that day the kid gets sick. Or it will be that time when you and your spouse get into such an argument that you nearly divorce. God will, it is a promise. Everything that can be raised up against you, every stronghold to stop you from getting the knowledge of God will come against you. Why? Because once you've got that knowledge, once you have obtained that knowledge from God, once you've gotten that knowledge, now you have access to God in a way you haven't had before. And you can overcome different things. You can overcome more things because now you know how to overcome. And he will try to stop you. Now let me show you a verse that makes this that proves what I just said to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says there, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? They're mighty through God to do what? Pull down strongholds." Now that's interesting. We are given weapons of our warfare that will pull down these strongholds. But then verse 5. Verse 5 is the one that I really want us to see. "Casting down imaginations," and look at this, "every high thing that exalts itself against" what? "The knowledge of God." The enemy will war with you like you've never been warred with before when you really set your mind to grow in the realm of the Spirit and in your knowledge with God. Because it is in knowing Him and knowledge of Him you develop a relationship with Him. Grace is reaching to people. Knowledge is reaching to God. If I know God, I must knowledge God. Knowledge. If I know you, I have knowledge about you. If I want a relationship with you, I have got to get to know you. If I want a relationship with God, I've got to know Him. I've got to obtain knowledge about Him. Grace works out to people. That's the key of the kingdom of heaven given us for the church that will not be stopped by hell. We'll learn how to love and to minister to people the way that Jesus did it. Knowledge is the key to the kingdom of heaven in the heaven dimension. And it operates in the heavens. And it gains us access to God in a way we haven't had it before. We mature in our relationship with Him. We communicate better with Him because we know more about what He wants, what He expects, and how our lives will function and be better if we'll just obtain that knowledge and then apply that knowledge to our lives. Every one of these has had that heavenly, earthly dimension. The keys of the kingdom work in both dimensions. And church at its best learns this and brings both of these into itself, and therefore it becomes a church that hell cannot stop. If I'm obtaining knowledge of God, I'm growing in my relationship with Him. And if I obtain grace and I grow my grace, I'm obtaining relationships with people and I'm ministering to people. Condensing it down into a sentence is where I'm heading. Let's make sure we're caught up on our feelings. Number 6. The enemy puts up every obstacle to stop us from growing in the knowledge of God. We've got that one, haven't we? Okay. Right where I want to be. Now, Jesus said at the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission, when He sent them out, He said, all power has been given me in heaven and earth. And this next verse is on the projector. He says, go ye therefore. Therefore go ye. Into where? All the nations. Teaching all the nations. Now this, as we've seen so far, is the front part. We've got a front part and a back part of the Great Commission. The front part is go ye into all the nations. Every ethnic group. Go to every ethnic group. Ethnic nations is not good. It's ethnic groups. It's in Lafayette region and area. We've got so many ethnic groups. So we're to go into every ethnic group, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Get them in the kingdom. Then we'll go to the back part. And growing now moves to the back part of the scale. Growing now goes to taking people and teaching them all the commandments whatsoever things I've commanded you. Right? Is that what He says? Teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, so growing and going are the two aspects. We go and then we grow. We go, we talk about the good news, we release our gifts, we begin to gather, and then we take these people that we're gathering and we begin to grow them in the dimension of the Spirit. That's what church at its best does. Go and grow. But what am I supposed to teach them? What does that verse say, teach them? All things whatsoever I've commanded you. Ask you a question. What did Jesus teach? Well, in fact, let me do it another way. What did Jesus not teach? That sounds overwhelming, doesn't it? I was supposed to learn all that. I was supposed to teach all that. I've been teaching the Bible for 20 years. 20 years. And do you know there are still things that He taught that I've never taught? Because I don't know what He's talking about yet. I'm growing. And as I get it, I give it. But there is so much. And if we allow it to look at it from that perspective, it's overwhelming. And we say, Lord, there's no way. So I want to condense it down. And I want to put it into a sentence for us. I want to put it into a workable sentence for us so that we'll understand growing. And if I really want to be like Jesus, and if I really want to grow into Him, and I want to become more like Him, that I can understand this so simply. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, a guy came to Jesus and he says, what is the greatest commandment? Now say that back to me. What is the greatest commandment? He didn't ask him for two or three or four. He asked him for how many? One. He says, thee. What is the greatest commandment? What's the first and the greatest commandment? Now, I want you to get a little revelation here because I really want us to kind of get this. I want us to see it in a different perspective. I saw it a little differently this week. It's like Jesus is sitting there. I'm seeing Him thinking, well, one, huh? One commandment. Well, okay. If I have to give you one, the first one, He says, the first then is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first one. But he says, you got to understand, how many did he ask you for? One. But he says there's really two. You see, there's another one that's so close to it, that is so like it, that is so near being the same that I can't hardly separate them. So I'm going to have to give you two to answer your question. He says the second one is like it. You got to love people. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love God. And you got to love people. You got to grow in your grace. And you got to grow in your knowledge. And so if I'm becoming like Jesus, what am I doing? Huh? And if I was like Him right now, what would I do? What would I be? If this moment I was transformed to be just like Him, what would I be? And when you heard me, who would you hear? Huh? And if you looked at me, you would see Him. And if you heard me, you would hear Him. Because we would have such a relationship. That's what Jesus said, right? You hear me, you hear Him. You look at me, you see Him. And what else would I do? I'd grow in my grace and I'd minister to people. I would love people. And He says this, that no greater love doth a man have than he lay his life down for his friends. You see, I would grow in my relationship with a lot of people, but I would take 12 people and let them reproduce me in the earth. How sad it would have been had Lance stopped growing and not been able to become a mature man. Able now and capable, got to get him going on this, but to reproduce me in the earth. Come on. And the Father wants us the same way. That we grow in such a dimension into Him. In our love for people. In our relationship with God. That we reproduce God in the earth. And Thy kingdom come. And Thy will be done. On the earth. As it is in heaven. And as He is, so are we in this world.